We've been studying the subject, failing to obey the voice of God. And last Lord's Day, we finished looking at lessons to be learned from the negative example of King Saul, who made a shipwreck of his faith. And so we want to avoid those pitfalls. And then we began to answer this question. Why do people fail to obey God? And we started out with the definition of disobey as we went to the Webster's Dictionary of 1828. And part of that definition was this: men disobey their maker and the laws. And we all disobey the precepts of the gospel. Well, he was right. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So, we started to answer the question, again, why do people fail to obey God? And we noticed man's ability to choose. Saul chose to disobey God despite knowing the command that God had given, and several times we noted. And then number two, man's lack of knowledge. And that would certainly include everyone that starts out without knowledge of the truth. And we all are in that situation as we sin against God, and we need to learn the truth and obey it in order to have salvation. So that's certainly an answer. Thirdly, we mentioned man's own lust, selfish desires and pride. And, of course, Satan tempts us in three avenues: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that started out in the Garden of Eden with Eve and continues today. So we want to pick back up with our study and answer again the question, why do people fail to obey God? And we'll begin our continued study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to Preparing for Eternity, something that every one of us should be doing, and that's the most important aspect of our life, is it not? To prepare to be with God for all eternity. So let's be sure that's what we're all doing. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville. What do we do in our Bible classes? Well, it should be obvious. We study God's Word, the Holy Bible. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Now you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention: we look forward to opportunities of having Bible studies, sitting down together, opening up God's Word, and humbly submit to it is what all of us must do. So we look forward to those opportunities. Something else we want to mention: your Bible questions are welcome. Of course, your comments, positive or negative, they're welcome as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study this morning concerning the question, why do people fail to obey God? And this is number four in our answer: man's desire to be free from restraint. What does it mean when someone is termed a free spirit? Well, does this term not describe a person who wants to be free from the moral restraints of society so they can live in fornication and do drugs or whatever they have a desire to do? And they're not under restraints, you see, according to their way of thinking. Well, this is terrible for so many to be in this situation. And our country suffers because of it. Unless one gives up being a free spirit, he or she will not submit to the Lord's authority. Because, as Jesus said, except ye become as one of these little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3 makes it clear, one must humble theirself. Was not the Apostle Peter referring to free spirits as he wrote concerning false teachers who bring in damnable heresies in the church? 2 Peter 2:10. Notice, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Do we not see this going on today? Quite a bit, unfortunately, sad to say. So many people are not concerned about God's will. That's obvious, is it not? Like Pharaoh of Egypt of long ago, who said in Exodus 5:2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" You see how puffed up he is? Who does he think he is, speaking this way about God? Who is the Lord? In other words, he didn't recognize the Lord and the authority of his Creator over the created, as this man was full of pride. "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Well, he learned a hard lesson, did he not? After God sent 10 plagues against Egypt, he let Israel go, but then later pursued the Israelites with his army to the Red Sea, where Pharaoh, yes, his army and their horses were drowned, all because Pharaoh remained defiant towards the Lord's will up to his death. Study Exodus 7, chapter 7 through 14. You see, Pharaoh put his people through torment. That's right, because the nation of Egypt suffered because of this leader. There's a lesson to be learned there, is there not? And why did the prodigal son leave his father and go to a far country? Well, notice with me Luke 15:12-13. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It's so sad. This young man left his father and just went out and wasted his inheritance on riotous living, which was indicating that he did not want to be under his father's restraint. He wanted to go and do the things he wanted to do without restriction, you see. That's what we're saying here, man's desire to be free from restraint. So we ask ourselves, do we desire to be free from our sins or to be free from God's restraints? Well, it better be that we desire to be free from our sins. Of course, that's the answer that all of us should give. But let's go on and notice number five, as we're answering the question, why do people fail to obey God? And this would have to be included, man's desire to be popular. Well, this is shown with King Saul, was it not? 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, here it comes, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So when Saul said that he feared the people, I don't think he was fearing physical harm. He's the king. But rather losing the people's favor. Is that not the situation? I believe it is. In other words, he was afraid of becoming unpopular with the people. Saul desired popularity with the people rather than having God's approval. Yes, we studied earlier, God does not accept second place, therefore we must fear God, not man. Remember how King Saul was jealous of David? Because the people, yes, the women were singing, David has slain his 10,000s, where Saul was just slaying his thousands. You see, he wanted to be popular with the people there, and that led to envy and jealousy and hate. We recall that study, do we not? Well, notice also the following passage. It's another example of preferring popularity with the people over submitting to God's will. And this would be John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. How tragic. They believed on him. They knew Jesus was who he said he was. They understood by the miracles that Jesus had done and the teaching. Yes, this was coming from God's word. He was God in the flesh and speaking, of course, the word of God. But what did they choose? They chose to be popular or to be acceptable with the Pharisees. They didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue, and so they chose the praise of men over the praise of God. Now, how many people are doing the same thing today? They want to stay popular with the people. We want to be woke and go along with what we're told here by those who are in knowledge. No, sir. They're not in knowledge of the truth. They're spewing out lies and getting people away from God and into a big mess, as our country is suffering greatly, is it not? Because of so many following after those who are supposedly leaders and knowledgeable people, and they understand the current culture and so forth. Well, blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. It's not the truth. And you see the result. Everybody should see it. This is loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. We must not submit and go along with so many that are in this current digression. Of course not. So, let us give heed to the Apostle Paul's inspired declaration. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, as a gospel preacher, who am I pleasing? Am I just wanting to please all those that are in the audience, in the congregation, listening to the sermon? Well, of course, I'm hoping that they desire to hear the truth. Yes, of course. But what is my goal? To please men or to please God? Well, every gospel preacher should ask himself this question, because we're going to need to preach against sin, and there are going to be those who are in sin and need to get out of it. And sometimes people don't like to hear that, and they may get upset at the preacher. Sometimes preachers are fired because they preach the truth. And of course, the attitude should be in love. We all need to certainly stay with that attitude. But when you preach the truth, you're going to offend some. And sad to say, that's just the way it is. So Paul was able to state emphatically with God as his witness the following. We'll go now to 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 through 6. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. That's right. They had God as their witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Let's not be men pleasers, gospel preachers, teachers of God's word. Let's be God pleasers. We want to, again, have an attitude of love towards those we're preaching the word before, and teaching those in the classroom or even through the computer. Now a lot of folks are doing that. The attitude needs to be a concern for the listeners, for our own selves, as we need to heed what we're preaching and teaching ourselves, of course. But always striving to please God, preaching the truth in love, but staying with the truth no matter how many do not want to hear it. And so, as we've answered the question, why do people fail to obey God? Yes, they have a free choice to do so. We all do. And the lack of knowledge is certainly an answer that needs to be given. So many people do not know what the Bible says. How many today are not even concerned about the Word of God? And, of course, the three avenues of temptation that Satan uses. Yes, we studied that last week. And then today, we've studied man's desire to be free from restraint. Well, we need to be under the authority of Christ, submitting to it. We are under it, whether we submit or not, but we need to be submitting to the gospel. And then, as we've just studied, man's desire to be popular, to be accepted by our peers, should never come over being approved of God. Let us never give in to that desire of wanting to be popular with people rather than God. Now, having, as we studied King Saul, he had his own selfish desires, didn't he? He had envy, and he wanted the praise of men. And what ended up was a shipwrecked faith. Saul misused his opportunity as Israel's first earthly king. He should have taken advantage of the godly influences of those close to him. Remember Samuel, the prophet. Yes, who was a faithful prophet of God. And Saul had access to Samuel and could have heeded his... Of course, he was speaking God's word, and he should have submitted to the commands of God and also heeded Samuel's advice. But not only Samuel, but he had his own son, Jonathan, who was a devoted son, but he was devoted more to God. And he was not jealous of David. He knew that David was the Lord's anointed, and he accepted that. He could have said, well, I'm the next in line from my father. Yes. No, he didn't think that way at all. He had a loving heart. Yes, and David, here's another situation that Saul could have taken advantage of. David was a man after God's own heart. David could have helped Saul to stay faithful to God and not lose his throne, and given him good advice to put God first. But you see, Saul didn't take advantage of those godly influences. Now, the lesson here is for us today, isn't it? Who do we want to be around more? Ungodly people, or the people that are strong in the faith? People that love the truth and are great encouragers? Now, think about it. Who do we choose to be around the most? Well, we may have to be around ungodly people at work, but we need to be the influence on them, not vice versa. And at school, the same thing, young people. So let's keep that in mind, of being the good influence ourselves and wanting to be around godly influence for our own sake. Sadly, King Saul, yes, he made bad choices. He disobeyed the voice of the Lord. But again, what about our faith? How strong is it? Excuse me. So just as Saul's excuses for his disobedience were unacceptable to God, all the excuses that one might offer for failing to obey God's will, they too shall be unacceptable before the Lord on the day of judgment. That's right. So today, in order to obey the voice of the Lord, what must we do? We must hear and study the Word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to understand that we're under the law of Christ. We're not going to go to the Old Testament for examples of what to do to be saved or how to worship God. We study the Old Testament. We learn from it, as we've been doing with King Saul. But we're under the law of Christ today. So we must rightly divide the word of truth, but also study. We cannot be approved unto God unless we study. Are we doers of the word or hearers only? James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving thy own self. We don't want to be deceiving ourselves. Now, without obedience to God's will, no accountable soul will be in heaven. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. That's who's going to be able to be in heaven. Yes. And we need to understand that all accountable souls this side of the cross of Christ will be judged by the one true standard, the gospel of Christ. John 12:48, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. And therefore we must obey the gospel and continue fully trusting God by faithfully submitting to His will. So we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel and studying further to be sure we're staying with what the Word of God says. So after hearing the Word of God, as we said, this is how our faith begins, Romans 10:17, we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one who died for our sins. Yes, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent, making a change of wills and do the will of God. Yes, we all must repent, Luke 13:3-5, Acts 17:30, Acts 2:38. After repenting of our sins, changing our will, now we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, it's unto salvation. Once we make the good confession, now we're ready to be baptized into Christ. Here's where we're going to contact His precious blood that was shed in His death in John 19:33-34. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That's right. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. We're dying to sin because the blood of Christ is going to wash away our sins under that watery grave, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We come up out of that watery grave, now we're walking in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Let's understand that, the significance of contacting the blood of Christ in that watery grave. Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Calling on the name of the Lord is submitting to the Lord's authority. And we all must do that if we're going to have salvation from our sins. Now, once we've been baptized into Christ, the Lord has added us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47. We haven't joined any man-made church. We're added to the body of Christ, the spiritual body. That's the church of Christ. Now we need to remain faithful, not falling into the pitfalls as Saul did, but staying faithful even unto death, and we'll have the crown of glory, the crown of victory. We thank you so much for listening today.